Hey friends, Pastor Josh Sefko here, lead pastor at Flat Creek Baptist Church in Fayetteville, Georgia. For almost 20 years, I've served in local church ministry. It's been a joy, honor, and privilege, and through the years, I've learned some things and met some people along life's journey that I want to introduce to you. I want to bring in voices from all over the country that will help equip you as we dig deep into God's Word, as we open up dialogue and talk about some of the things we really wrestle with in our walk with Christ. We're going to be talking about spiritual formation, how to pray, how to develop a witnessing lifestyle, to share your faith, to grow in your faith, most importantly, to grow in that grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that you join us each month. All right, friends, welcome back. Josh Sefko here, and so excited to have Allison Vize with us. Allison is a notable author, and I'm so proud of her for writing My Spirit is Life and Peace. She has written Bible studies along Philippians, the book of James, and just finished the first volume of the Gospel of John. Allison, welcome. I'm so glad you're here.
Thanks, Josh. I'm so glad to be here.
Allison and I got to know each other several years ago because she's a co-founder of Think Life Change and Victory Reigns, mm-hmm. and also an avid horse lover and yes. horse owner.
Yes.
And where are you from?
I am from Abbeville, Louisiana.
Louisiana.
Cajun country.
Oh,
yes.
That's awesome. All righty. And yeah. so you are married to Chris. You have yes. a daughter yes. and a son. What are their names?
Hannah is 25. She's about to get married.
All right. June 1st.
June 1st. And my son is Parker. He is 18. He's in college to become a pastor right now.
So. Shout out to Parker down yes. there at Pensacola Christian.
Pensacola Christian, yes.
Oh, that is so exciting. Yeah. Well, I am delighted that you are here. You, Carrie Skinner, means so much to my family mm-hmm. and I, and we appreciate all that you're doing through Think Life Change and Victory Reigns. This is really a follow-up from Dr. Skinner's conversation that we had last time. And one of our listeners asked a question: what is the difference between biblical counseling, secular counseling, and Christian counseling? And I heard you give, really it was a lecture several months ago, on this very topic of counseling distinctives. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking maybe today you could just simply walk us through what are those distinctives.
Sure.
What are some of those highlights that we can take with us as we're listening in the car, we're listening at home? What are some of the differences between biblical counseling, secular counseling, and Christian counseling?
Sure. So I've been in the counseling field since 2007. So 17 years I've been in the counseling field. And so what I'm going to tell you is something that has taken years to kind of put together, because I think the average Christian, it's hard to understand what these differences are. So what you have to do is, if you want to talk about biblical counseling, if you want to assess everything from Scripture, you have to start with Scripture.
Well, that's a novel concept
yes.
in itself. So you've been doing counseling for 17 years.
Yes.
And we're starting with the Scriptures.
Yes.
I absolutely love it already.
Yes.
All right.
So if you want to assess a person through the lens of Scripture, the Bible talks about how we're either in the flesh or we're in the spirit. So when you're talking about different forms of counseling, you have to make a decision on who do you want to follow when you're helping people. Do you want to follow man and what man has started, or do you want to follow the Word of God and what's in the Scriptures? So this is kind of a quick understanding would be, anyone doing counseling, not seeking the counsel of God, is helping people to become better in the flesh. So there is no God, which means there is no spirit. Which means the only thing we can do is really grow and get better in the flesh. So you'll hear terms like this. Obviously, we know we're talking about biblical counseling, but then you'll have secular counseling, which is worldly. There is no God. It's strictly psychology and worldly counsel. Then I think the biggest confusion in our day is that there's counseling called Christian counseling. And that would be the major area, I think, that people hear. Now, there's extremes to this. So let me ask you a question, Josh. What's the difference between a mechanic and a Christian mechanic?
Well, if I'm under a car, I've been hit, and you need to call 911. But if there's a difference between a Christian com- mechanic mm-hmm. and just a regular, I would say the Christian mechanic would love the Lord with all of his heart, mind, mm-hmm. soul, and strength.
Yes.
His neighbor as himself.
How do they fix the car?
The same way.
Okay. So that's kind of the concept. When you're talking about a Christian, you're talking about a person. So when you're dealing with people, you know, you can have one person that's walking with the Lord closely. You can have another person that is not. So, but they're Christian. So when you're out of fellowship with God, you're having a hard time connecting to the wisdom of God, right? So that what's happened to our Christian universities is that they have to come out with a product of someone who can be licensed by the state. So there's guidelines that they have to teach people, which is fixing the car the same as a regular mechanic, which means you learn diagnostics and you learn to help people based upon those types of things, psychological things. And now people can get help. They can get relief. And here's the main thing for me. I would rather the world try to help people to be better so you don't have drunk drivers killing people, so you don't have those types of things. But the church is different. The church needs to stick to God's mandate, not bringing in worldly counsel to help God's people. So in the book of Jeremiah, God says, if my people would have taken my words and said those words to, you know, to my people, then they would have turned from their wicked ways. And that is, I don't know that one by heart, but I think it's Jeremiah 23:22. So the idea is that when you're in the counsel of God in your own walk with him, you take that counsel to the people that you're helping using scripture. In Jeremiah 17, he talks about how those who trust in flesh are cursed. So if we're trusting in ourselves to help God's people, that's strong language. We're cursed. So think of it this way. Secular sticks to secular methods. Biblical counseling sticks to biblical. But Christians sometimes can be double-minded in their counsel because you're integrating both. And anytime you integrate a system that is not of God with God, how does that even work, right? But I would say the majority of churches and majority of Christian counselors in our day are still leaning on diagnostics and not necessarily assessing a person according to God's word. Okay. So things, oh, go ahead.
In 17 years, mm-hmm. are you seeing a blending of the two from where you sit, you and Carrie, and Think Life Change? Are you seeing a merging of the two?
Yes. So I think, well, let me explain this too, because there's different kinds of biblical counseling as well. I think a lot of us that have grown up in church, well, not me, I didn't grow up in church, but people that have grown up in church, they were taught a lot of the don'ts. So like, don't do this, don't do that. Basically, don't walk in the flesh. But I think where we're missing, what we're missing, a big key of what we're missing in our church today is to rely on the Holy Spirit and to walk in the Spirit. I think we have lost the idea that the Holy Spirit can really set us free from a lot of the things that ail us. And so a lot of people are scared to talk about the Holy Spirit. I think they think it's mystical or, you know, there's extremes to that. Maybe you're following your emotions. But if you're walking closely in the Word, and then the Spirit takes the Word of God and helps us to know what to do in our lives. So the Spirit and the Word cannot be separated. But what happens is we learn a lot of truth. So we're like a tick, full of truth, but we're not growing in spirit. And growing in the spirit is what's going to help us to overcome a lot of life's problems. It doesn't mean we won't have problems, but it means when we do, we can walk through them with God in the spirit.
Yeah. And I think that's why one of my favorite works that you've done is My Spirit is Life and Peace. Mm-hmm. When it comes to secular Christian biblical counseling, mm-hmm. kind of just walk us through from your perspective, from where you guys sit on assessment and truth and what it teaches and some solutions that you're seeing, mm-hmm. and those distinctives between biblical, secular, and Christian counseling.
Yes. So one of the major teachings I think that separate us from others is really we're wanting to build people up into the head, which is Jesus. So the church is designed to help people grow, and we're designed to help each other grow up in Christ, which means your relationship with Jesus is a big piece of what we teach and try to help people to see. But another major teaching of Christ is, if anyone is going to come after me, he's got to deny self. So think of it this way. If secular, I would say in the secular realm, we're helping people to be better in the flesh, which would be building up self, right? So you, if you all you had was flesh, that's all you had, and that's how you had to help somebody, the key would be to build them up in themselves, right? Self-confidence, self-esteem. The problem is anything that you build up that way, but Jesus is saying you have to deny, it makes it harder to deny when you build yourself up in the flesh. So secular would be helping people to be built up in the flesh, which means you're inflating self, and you're learning how to do things better, which you can do. I can stop drinking alcohol without knowing God. True? But that doesn't help me grow up in Christ or be built up in spirit. So the idea is, it's not just about stopping behavior. And majority of counsel today is behavior modification. And what we're trying to do is change from the inside. So we want to be in Christ. And when we're in Christ in that way, then what's on the inside is what's going to come out on the outside. So God transforms our heart and mind to be more in the image of Christ. And when he does, do you think we're going to want to be alcoholics, drug addicts? Well, no. When what's on the inside is driving us and we have the desires of God, then the outside kind of takes care of itself. When you take care of the outside behavior without changing the inside, you create more of a miserable person, because basically you're just denying what the heart wants. So I think that's the key. And the confusing part about Christian counseling is because I can have a list of Christian counselors. One can talk about God and you know, for the most part, be biblical. I do know that when you're licensed by the state, you are limited on what you can say. And that was something that I decided to lay down in my life, because I went halfway through a licensure and I laid it down. And the reason is because I don't want to be limited about what I can say to people when it comes to God. And you are limited. And some people kind of just do it anyway. But some people don't even talk about God at all, and they're labeled Christian, so they're not using the Bible at all. So there's just extremes about what you're getting. And I think the church needs to be aware of where they're sending people. Because Josh, if you're preaching from the pulpit one message, but you're referring somebody to another counseling where they're getting more time with this person helping them, and it's totally opposite of the message that you're speaking, that's creating confusion for this person, and it's almost making it harder to understand. But what if you had somebody that was in line with what you're teaching, and we're like-minded in our counsel with what's coming from the pulpit? Well, what does that do? That helps someone. And so that's kind of what we want to do is, you know, as believers, why wouldn't the Holy Spirit be enough? Why wouldn't God's way be enough? But I think it's just that we don't understand sometimes what our problems are.
Yeah. And so from a Christian counseling perspective versus a biblical, the Christian counseling would offer in, say, human man-made theories that wouldn't agree with Scripture. Mm-hmm. To your point is, well, we have to add in more when we don't.
Exactly.
And what the Spirit of God could do is deal with the sin problem, teach us to deny ourselves. And mm-hmm. that's not thinking more less of ourselves,
Mm-mm.
is it?
Mm-mm.
So talk to me about when you say deny yourself, what mm-hmm. do you mean by that?
Well, and this is kind of the way I've looked at, let's talk about the sin of pride. Okay, pride is focused on self, but it's both sides. So most people think pride would be thinking highly of yourself. But there's also this other side of pride where you're beating yourself up. And I don't think people think that's pride. But where's the mind? It's on self. So the key would be, in a biblical counseling perspective, is to help people stop thinking about themselves and start thinking more about Jesus and learning more about him. And when you do that, you start to identify with his ways, and then that's what you want to be setting your mind on, not on who you are in terms of apart from Christ.
It's a relationship.
Yes.
With the Lord Jesus Christ that we have to make an investment into heart, mind, body, and soul.
Yes.
And so, again, just walk us through a little bit of maybe some of the solutions behind biblical, secular, Christian counseling. I see secular counseling and Christian counseling often go quick to disorders.
Yes.
They inflate self. But there's also a validating and affirming of emotions. Yes. Mm-hmm. Behavior modification, you've mentioned that a few times, and management. Everything seems to be about management, management, but we really don't find transformation or cure. Or
being set free.
Set free.
Yeah. And it's exhausting to think about having to manage your anxiety, your anger, your all of these things for the rest of your life. So that's exhausting. But think about it. If you come at the problem from these things that we just talked about, disorders, walking in the flesh, validating, inflating self. I want to say that for a minute. So this is something I was taught heavily in school, which is validating emotions. Well, there's a big disconnect in our day with emotion not being sinful. But the idea is what I said in the beginning of this podcast was if we're divided either in flesh or spirit, and when I say flesh, I mean sinful flesh. Then if we're thinking sinful thoughts, it's going to be connected to sinful emotions. And so if you come to see me and I validate your sinful emotions, then how am I helping you to grow in Christ? I'm keeping you stuck.
Yeah, and creating confusion too. Mm-hmm. So particularly if you're going to a Christian counselor and they hear validation.
Yes.
And again, separating between what biblical counseling is versus Christian counseling, someone just validating your emotions, not actually giving you the biblical truth to set you free.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's kind of the thing that I was taught and did for many years is saying, you know, we've all said this. We have to admit we have. You have every right to feel this way. But here's the thing. It doesn't mean that what happened to a person is not awful, because something awful could have happened. But if that emotion and that thought is keeping them stuck and separated from fellowship and separate, don't you think that it would be loving to tell them? And if we can teach them how to turn to God for help, He can cleanse that out of their lives. But if all we do is help them to validate, affirm, manage, so management of anger would be something like go work out, go run around the block. Those types of things, but it gives just relief. Now, there are times where we need relief, no doubt about it. We're under lots of pressure and we need relief, but that's not the end. The end would be transformation. And in my experience, I've been in secular counseling in terms of me doing the counseling. I've done Christian counseling. I've done all of it. And honestly, the secular and Christian and what I was a part of was a lot of a revolving door. Somebody comes in, you help them feel better. You're helping them manage, right? So you help them feel better. They leave, they go to the about the week, and then they come back, same thing over and over. But I've had people coming through biblical where I stick strictly to biblical counseling and the way God says to do it, and I start seeing people set free. And we're not still talking about the same problems over and over again. Do we really believe that God can set us free? I mean, if He created us, doesn't He want to set us free from the sin? That's the reason why Jesus died. Problem is that we don't really call it sin anymore. So if it's a sin problem and you're managing it, then you're not utilizing the reason why Christ died for us, which was to set us free from that.
Yeah, and there's power in saying, I'm wrong. I have sinned.
Mm-hmm.
God, please forgive. But you have to be able to identify it as the way that God identifies it.
Yes.
We can't validate it. We can't say it's acceptable in it. We have to call it what it is. And it's sin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ugly. But there's a God in heaven who loves you and wants to set you free. And He has given us the greatest gift of all, the gift and the joy of repentance.
Absolutely.
And coming through the blood of Jesus, we find great cleansing and empowering through the Holy Spirit of God that brings life transformation. Mm-hmm. I want to focus too on this integration seems to be a really popular approach to Christian counseling. Is it solely based out of license? Is that what we're seeing?
Well, I think so. I think some people just believe that there's a place for, because when we're talking about integration, you're talking about theology and psychology. And so, you know, this is not very popular to say, but psychology is man-made. Now, some people believe all truth is God's truth. But the idea is, think of it this way, if it's secular and I'm assessing and I'm coming up with observations and I don't know God, then who's creating that? Man. So I think I was in a church where it was an integrated model. And I think a lot of people just don't understand it. They don't understand the difference. This was my experience. You start with psychology and you kind of put scripture on the backside of that. So you're not starting with theology and letting that drive it first. So for me, it was, we did talk about scripture in the church I was at, but the most part was just diagnostics, those types of things. So when you do that, here's the hard part, because the way psychology will identify certain areas of our lives, they're never going to call it sin. And so because of that, how do you have a solution? Well, what's happened, and I don't understand the disconnect. I really don't know about how this has become disconnected, but it's kind of like, you know, this is where we have church, but anything mental health needs to go over here. And I don't understand that, because God said he would transform our thinking and that his thoughts are not our thoughts, and he can help us to grow in his thinking and in his ways. And so it's hard for me to understand why we think mental health needs to go outside of the church. I'm not suggesting there isn't a place sometimes when there's a safety issue that you need some kind of help on the outside to get somebody in a safe place. But that's never the end goal. And I don't believe that integrated models need to be in the church. I just wonder how God feels about that, you know? I just think transformation is the key. But here's the other thing. You don't know what it's like to be transformed until you're transformed. So telling someone that you don't have to battle this for the rest of your life, they don't always understand that or believe you. But I've had people, you know, in talking about these different types here, where we're talking about management, behavior modification. Think about it. If you had to manage your drug addiction for the rest of your life, you want to just give up because it's exhausting and the heart is calling for that. So this is what I tell a lot of people that come to see me. I start with this. We're not going to let the way we feel guide if this is working or not, because when you first start biblical counseling, it's painful to look at your own heart. Let's walk through that pain and get to the other side of it. But when somebody is set free through that, they look at their heart and then they're set free. There's just nothing better than that for them. And so that's kind of what we want to help people to do, grow in Christ, build their relationship, learn how to walk in the Spirit, and not have to manage daily problems, but be set free. But we start by this. You have to admit that there's sin in your life. If you're not going to do that, then you can't go forward. But here's the other thing. Do we really have a great understanding of sin? So when I say the word sin, most people think of the big ones. But I think if you look at the life of Christ, he went to the depth of things, right? If you have anger in your heart, you've already murdered someone. If you have lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. He's going deep. So if we transform somebody in their thinking, not we, God, then do you think it's going to help their behavior? But we want to, a lot of times, fix behaviors because we care about the way things look on the outside. And so we try to fix the outside to look better. All the while that actually, when we're behaving this way and the inside is off, it's causing more problems.
Speak to the listener, if you could, of going back to the one who said, okay, I need counseling. How do I determine? I think you've articulated well in our time together. What would be your advice to someone right now listening, says, I think I want to explore biblical counseling. What would you say to them right now?
In terms of how to find that?
Find that, but also I think it'd be important to, how do we get in contact with you?
Mm-hmm.
If we really just are seeking help, not relief, but really mm-hmm. want to see a change in our life,
yeah.
our, not just behavior, but transformation is yeah. what I'm hearing from you.
The best way would be to go to our website, mm-hmm. thinklifechange.com. You can read a lot about what we do there, and you can get a phone number to call if you have any questions, if you want to connect with us, then all our information is on there. But I would say that we need to understand that biblical counseling, if we're talking about it being discipleship, we don't separate discipleship from counseling. It's one and the same, is that this is a lifelong journey, and we all need it. Not just if you're not having major problems in your life right now, you can still grow in your walk with Christ. We're going to be doing that till the day we die. So that's kind of the idea here. It would be if you just want to grow in your walk with God, or if you're having a major life problem right now, this is for you. It's learning how to build your relationship with Jesus. It's learning how to walk with Him. It's learning how to recognize your problems through the lens of Scripture. Because there's also a disconnect between, some people read the word, but they don't know how to relate it to their life. How does this apply to my life right now? And so growing in that would be growing in spirit, helping the spirit to guide. So I would say if you're looking or you're interested, the best way to learn more is to go to thinklifechange.com.
You're speaking to a pastor, you speak to staffs and pastors' wives and pastors, you minister to them in the area of counseling. What would you say to the pastor who's looking at counseling too, just as a word of wisdom as you think through what you're recommending, biblical, secular, Christian counseling? What would you say to the pastor and staff that are listening?
I would say be careful where you send people. And if you, as a pastor and a staff member, are struggling, get help. Reach out. And we need to humble ourselves to know that we're all human and we all need help at times. And I think sometimes it breaks my heart for the pastor or someone on staff because they have a hard time knowing who they can trust, who they can talk to. I guess for me, I would love for them to be able to get help as well if they're struggling. Than to seek biblical counseling and grow in their walk with God. Because sometimes, I mean, we can all leave our first love. We can all get really, really busy in our lives and serving people all the time. And, you know, I know that there's a lot of attacks. There's a lot of people saying negative things to the pastor. There's always a lot of that. I've experienced that as well. So I understand how challenging that can be. But my main advice would be don't give up, get help, because God can set you free. And that when that happens, then your ministry is going to become more fruitful as well.
Allison, my family and I are so grateful for you and your family. You have helped us, not just myself, but you've helped my wife. We've done a pastor's wives retreat. You've invested days into our staff. You've done camps for children. My kids have been through this as well. We can't thank you enough for your time investment into our own family. Friends, if you're listening today, I hope that you would go to Think Life Change. Check out Allison and Carrie and what they're doing. God is using them in really cool ways. Again, James is a Bible study to go through. My Spirit, Life, and Peace, Gifts from God, lots of resources there for you. Allison, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Josh.
God bless you, my friend.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please hit the subscribe, share, even drop a review. I hope this episode has been an encouragement for you, and I invite you to tune in next time as we seek to continue this dialogue. And let's remember Psalm 96, verse 2. Sing to the Lord, bless His name, proclaim His salvation from day to day.